I want to tell you, again, we'll walk through Proverbs 18 a little bit, that I understand, one, that you have a life. Have you ever had somebody ask you a favor and you thought, do they know I have a life? Like, do they know that I can't do this all the time, and I don't have all the time in the world? Have you ever felt like that before? Okay. So I know that you guys have a life. Ever have someone ask something of you at a time where you thought, right now, emotionally, I can't do this, or mentally, or physically, or whatever? Ever been there before? Okay. And all of us have a life, and I know that you have things going on in your life that I'm not aware of, that I don't know. Some things I know, and just like with Joni noticing the stool, I notice things about your life that you don't tell me, so there are some things I know without you telling me. Sometimes the Lord tells me secrets, and then I don't tell you that he told me the secrets. It's kind of fun to be on the inside track at times. It's great to live life in the Spirit, amen. But I know that you guys have things going on. I know that some of you, a few of you are older than me, just a couple. And I know that that means certain things. And I know that myself, being 42, though depending on what group you're in, that means you're a young buck. In other groups, that means you're old. When I was working in youth ministry, even when I was in my late 30s, I was old. You know, that's just depending on where you are. But as you get older, your body starts to hurt, ache, and not do the things that you wanted it to do. And I know that there's people in here that are varying ages, and there's things that come with that, and you're dealing with things that are in your body that you're wrestling with, and I understand that. I also understand that some of you are in a financial context that's not awesome, you know. And if you are in a financial context that is awesome, see me after service. I have some projects for you. But I know that some of you are struggling, and you have challenges and issues, and that carries with it a whole host of things. Sometimes there are emotional and mental things that we're dealing with are coming from those financial hardships or the hardships of our health or even relational hardships that we have. Some of them, again, I'm aware of. Others, I'm not. And I want you to know that I know that and that I care about that. And that, in fact, I'll mention Joni again. And yes, it's rain. That's okay. Joni had asked me, she said, you know, sometimes you seem nervous before service, and so I pray for your nervousness, you know, but is there a different direction? And I said, no, I'm usually not nervous. Usually I have so much stuff going in my mind that my body reflects that. So I get a little bouncy and stuff. And that's just what's going on. Why did I say that? There's a reason why I said that. It's just because I looked at you? I don't know. What's that? Maybe. But there was a place I was going with that. See, this is what happens when I don't have notes. What's that? I took the podium away. That's okay. I'm good without the podium. If you don't know, I was off this week, and yes, I did prepare, and no, this isn't an attempt to not do my job. I prayed off and on throughout the week about the direction that the Lord wanted me to share with you. And I believe he gave me a direction, and I hate when he does it in the morning, particularly Sunday morning. but he does that sometimes. Again, I want you to know that I know what you're dealing with, and I know the concerns that you find yourself facing. I also know that some of you have young children in the house, and that limits your time. Some of you can't remember when your children were young, but if you can remember when your children were young, it's amazing how much of a wild card they are. You know, when you think you're going to make it somewhere on time, and then they throw wild cards in the mix, and you just don't, or you think you're going to be emotionally prepared, and one of your kids throws a tantrum. You never had kids that threw tantrums, right? Your kids threw tantrums, and you know, issues surfaced, and just adds to the complexity of life. I also want you to know that that I'm in the same boat as well. In fact, I wanted to read to you the first verse I want to touch on is verse 2 in Proverbs 18, which says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. It's amazing and different than Jesus how often we don't notice the people around us. Different than Jesus in that Jesus always noticed the people that were around him. The people that nobody else was noticing, the people that everybody else was trying to shove off to the side, Jesus noticed. The person who was hurting, wasn't saying anything, Jesus noticed. And we are called to be his people, to be like him, to notice the people around us, and to, at the very least, give understanding. So when somebody is rough around the edges or cold towards you or says something hard towards you or does something you don't like or someone makes a decision that you think is a dumb decision. Have you ever seen somebody make a decision that you thought it was a dumb decision? Is that Christian to say that you thought something was a dumb decision? It's okay to use that word. And you're in that shoe or in that boat, just remember that you usually don't have all the information. You usually don't know everything that's happening on the other side. And as much as I like to fake it and pretend like my life's all together, I have my own issues that I face as well. Do you believe that? Anybody believe I have my own set of problems and issues? Okay. I have my own struggles, and I'm glad that my wife believes in confidentiality. My children do to some extent. It's just you won't believe it. They don't have the energy to stay still and tell you. I don't know. But my family wrestles with things. And 2020 has been a difficult year for you guys. Some of them, it's been fine. You know, nothing's changed. But it's been a difficult year for me as well. And it's not really all that related to the pandemic. Anybody feel me on that? Some of the things you've been wrestling with this year really has nothing to do with the pandemic. There's other things. And there are things that are going on in my life that if I were to tell you, you'd feel incredibly sympathetic towards me. But I can't tell you for various reasons. And I'm sure that's the same for you. That there are things that if you were to tell other people, they'd feel incredibly sympathetic towards where you are. And we need to be able to have a wealth and depth of understanding the people that are around us. But there's a way to do that, to be able to understand the people that are around us. And these are things that are reflected to us in this chapter of Proverbs. And I want you to know that the book of Proverbs is written pretty much with rapid-fire statements. There's not really a context to them. There's just a one wise statement after the other. So if you've ever studied Proverbs, it is not inappropriate to grab this verse and grab that verse over here and go out of order and those kind of things, which is not typical for me when preaching from a passage. But Proverbs is like that. It's kind of all over the place. At times, a theme starts to get established. And if you've ever really in-depth studied portions of Proverbs, you will find that it'll deal with this subject matter and then jump over to this one and then back to that one. And so the jumping around is for that reason, because it's the nature of Proverbs. But verse 13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. Anybody ever done that? Or had someone do that to you? They had a reply before you finished your story? They had an answer before you fully explained the problem? Or ever have somebody give you an answer before you even told them the problem? Okay, you can't do that because you don't know unless you listen. But so often we just kind of want to deal with things and, you know, get things. Sometimes it's our lack of patience. We don't want to listen to the story or whatever. But we are not able to understand people. We're not able to work with people. We're not able to do what needs to be done if we don't listen. And I sometimes fail at that. And I'm wrestling and working to be better at that, to listen for. It's hard for a preacher because I do talking all the time. But I have to work at listening first before having the answer. Then in verse 4, it says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountains of wisdom is a bubbling brook. We've mentioned this before, and I don't know if you realize this, and Jesus says something similar: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When someone says something to you, they're giving you more information than just the words that they're saying. When you say something to somebody else, you're giving way more information than just the words that you're saying. In fact, if you're around people that are understanding and good listeners and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, there's times that it's scary how much you can be read by another person. Sometimes unbelievers can do that just because they pay attention to certain things. And we want to be those kind of people who are paying attention to the words and the things that are being said, and we're listening. Verse 20. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Did you know that people like talking about themselves? Or about what they care about? Or what's bothering them? And so if you want to know what to do with a person and how to understand them, just start asking them questions and let them go. And don't interrupt. Don't object. Just listen. Again, we're often so quick to want to fix a problem without knowing if we actually understand what's at heart of things. And there's times that I think that you guys have felt that I'm a person who drags my feet with things at times. And I want you to know, when I do that, it's one of two things. One, it's because I'm one pastor pastoring, and though it doesn't reflect it here this morning, it might help with online, a church of about 90 or so people, and at times, I just don't have the time to do certain things, and so the dragging my feet is that. Other times, it's the dragging my feet because I'm waiting to watch it a little bit more, because I want to know and understand it well enough before I do something, rather than just jump in and make a mess of things. Have you ever jumped in and make a mess of things? Would you rather not do that? Doesn't Jesus say a wise builder sits down and calculates the cost first before he does anything? And so sometimes when I say, that's an interesting idea, we'll have to think about that. And then 2 months go by and you think, has he thought about it enough yet? Again, it's possibly one of two of those things. Then verse 7 says, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. If you are an overly talkative person, just know that you are an open book almost. The more you speak, the more you reveal to everybody who and what you are, even if you don't think that you're giving things away. Also, the more you say, I think Proverbs elsewhere says that when there are many words, sin is not far behind, and I'm paraphrasing that. It's easier to insult someone when you start talking. It's easier to be insensitive when you start talking. If you don't say anything, it's safer that way. But we know that we need to communicate, we need to say things. But be careful. I love that my son, I've worked on training him, and he's gotten this ability quite a bit now, where he'll want to say something, and he'll say, I'm just trying to think how to say this respectfully. And I love that. That's growth. That's a cool thing. And we should all be in that place. You know, how do I choose my words carefully so as to show respect? Verse 15 says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. We need to be trying to not only learn and study Scripture, but learn and understand people and acquire as much knowledge and information as we can. I have acquired, anybody use ebooks or Kindle or those kind of things? My wife, it's funny, I'm a very habitual person, so I don't jump into things unless I, again, drag my feet into it. So she's tried to talk me into doing different things at times, like Kindle, and I'm like, I don't know, I like having the book in front of me. Blah, blah, blah. And she always laughs at me, because about 2 years later, I jump in and say, this is great. She's like, I know, I told you 2 years ago, and you know, couldn't get you to make use of it. But if you've ever used them, it's great to have, because it's on your phone, and most of us have our phones with us at all times, and it's great if you're stuck somewhere, just whip it out and start reading something and studying. We should be constant students. That's actually the message of Proverbs, is to constantly study and know and understand and get information, because it's a person who is insightful that is able to navigate through this life better than others and able to possibly prevent the number of problems that they can have without having that insight. Verse 17, the one who states his case first seems right, until the other comes and examines him. Have you ever heard someone give a persuasive speech or get really passionate about something and you're like, yeah, that sounds great. And then heard somebody else say something different, say, yeah, but this and that, and now you're like, oh, well, now I don't know. Wait, hold on. Let me rethink about this. Because that's just human nature. Where the first thing is, one, it's limited information. It's only what that person is sharing with us. But two, it's just the way it is. The first thing you hear sounds better a lot of times until you hear something else. And so what does that have to do with church? Well, I'm getting there. Hold on one second. Verse 21, death and fire are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and fire are in the power of the tongue. Why am I talking about communication? Because I don't know if you know it, the people that are in this building right now are people. They're human beings, and they talk, and they have feelings, and we have to know how to relate to one another. And I wanted to explain something to you. I wanted to start with that I understand where you're coming from and then move into where we are as a church. Part of the reason why, Joni, you might have noticed the antsy dance over there for a little bit was because it affects me how many people are in the building. And not because it's like an ego thing. I want to feel like I'm a great pastor because there's more people in the building. What affects me is, how are those people doing that aren't here? If they're not here, how are they doing? I don't know. And then if there are not people in the building, are we doing a good job? Are we doing things well for the Lord kind of thing? And those things wrestle in my head. So we're, 10 months into this COVID thing, 10 months into this pandemic? And as much as you're tired of talking about it, I know I'm tired of talking about it. It's still the reality that we're in. I mean, look around us. You're all wearing masks, and we're about a third of the people that are usually here. But I know a number of you are online. And I don't know when this whole thing's going to be over. I don't. I would love to, like John said earlier when we were praying, he feels like this is going to be a great year, but let me give the disclaimer, I'm not a prophet. And I will say the same thing. Although I have been used at times in that gift, the Lord has not revealed that to me. And be careful if someone says the Lord has revealed that to you. You do want to make sure you examine that. But I don't know if it affects you. Does it affect you that there's not that many people here in the building? What's that? It's slowly building, and we know that because we keep tabs on who's here and how many people are here and such. And I actually feel sorry for some of you, like Domingo and Patty and Sandy and some of you that are here that have started coming in the midst of this because you don't know what Bethel was like beforehand. And I know that some of you have been here at Bethel since the 90s, some since the 80s, some of you since the 70s, right, Carol, Diane, Gary? And you guys saw days where we had, and I know because I've looked up the history and looked up our numbers and stuff, days where the attendance was over 300 people. Now, you were doing two services and things like that. You had multiple staff. You had all kinds of programs that were going on, and I know that you saw those days, and these days look much different than that. And I know that that's not really all on me, nor is it on my predecessor necessarily. But we went through days where obviously we're not in that space now. And when I came, the Lord was doing different things, and it was the Lord doing different things as we built up and we began to grow and see attendance increase some. And I know some of you came to me off and on and said, There's so many more people here, and you're excited about that. And wasn't that exciting to have, a lot of people here? We've had a few Easter Sundays where we went well over 100 people, and there's just energy in the room when there's people around. Now, the energy level is going to depend on the Holy Spirit and your response to it. You know, the energy level can still be high even if there's 20 people standing here in the room. It just depends on whether or not you want to give yourself to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And sometimes some of us are the quieter ones. Maybe the louder ones are streaming right now. I know that's true for some of them. At least maybe that's just their behavior on streaming, because I know a number of them put a bunch of comments on there throughout the service, which is awesome, which is what we want. But There's a different feel. And I don't know what it's like to be in your shoes, to have walked through seeing those great days and then seeing kind of years of famine. But I want you to please don't get discouraged about where we are today. Because the Lord was doing, and I believe is still doing something. And myself and the board and the leadership team, we are not inactive in the work of the ministry throughout the week. I know that another thing that has really been, it makes me feel guilty, is there are often times where some of you have been in the hospital and they won't even allow me into the building. I remember getting up real early in the morning hoping that I can get into the building. I didn't think to call. I got into the habit after that to call ahead of time, but early morning went down to AGH to hopefully be there to pray with Darlene before her knee surgery, and I even tried to argue with them a little bit, and they didn't let me in the building. And as your pastor, that bothers me. I like to be there when I can. Sometimes things get in the way of that. And so again, the antsiness, I'm sorry, Joni, just using you as a theme. Sometimes the antsiness over there is just feeling for, I wasn't there for this person, or, that happened and I didn't know what to do. Sometimes you guys have problems, I don't know what the solution is. You know, the best I can do is be there for you and pray for you, which I don't know if you know that. I'm not supposed to have all the answers. Did you know that? I would love to. I try to pretend like I do at times, but I don't. I don't have all the answers. But I want you to kind of know just kind of a history of what we've walked through over the last going on close to 4 years that I've been here to observe. Can you believe that? Going on close to 4 years come next month. Time flies, huh? And we have seen the Lord, like I said, build things in numbers. There is a lot of things that needed to happen when I first came, and I know a lot of you knew that. And so we saw a energy start to happen in our church where people started to invite people. We were having guests pretty regularly before we hit the pandemic. You guys were inviting people. I missed our food and fellowship this year. You know, those were always good times where we're outside and eating together after services and stuff. There was this relationship building things that happened. Joyce was getting her connection group teams were really rolling along, and you guys were getting together and building relationships. We were working on the children's ministry team, getting that organized and stuff, and that's still kind of a work in progress, kind of in and out with some youth things and outreach stuff that we've tried to had to reorganize, get volunteers going. If you're not volunteering for something, just so you know, we are developing a plan to chase you down at some point, just a FYI. It's all Linda's fault, by the way. If you see Linda Simzak, just know that it's all her fault. I'm teasing you, Linda. I know she's streaming. I'm just kidding. Sort of. Actually, it's really my doing, but I'm so grateful for her and a number of people that are doing different things. Our finances needed a lot of looking over and organizing and managing different things. And like I said, one of the reasons I think God gave me to you is because I don't spend much money. And that was kind of what you needed at the time. Now we are spending some of the money on different things for the church and such, obviously. And so we're in a good place financially, but where are we heading now? So one, a number of things are on hold. There's a number of things that are hard to do in the midst of a pandemic, like our food and fellowship, like when we have the Seder meal, different things that it's difficult to do in these seasons. Well, why are other churches still doing their activities? Yes, I know other churches are still doing their activities, and they have different reasons, and we have to remember the Proverbs we were reading, that they have different circumstances, different things that are going on, and we just have to try to give understanding as to why they're making the choices that they're making. We're making choices for reasons that we feel are good reasons to make. So there are a number of things that are on hold, and it's difficult to do certain things because of the circumstances we're in, which as long as this lingers, it might be difficult for us to get back to the days where we're doing food events and connecting events, though we did some of those during 2020. It's going to be hard for us to do outreaches in certain ways. Some of it is, I don't know if you understand the neighborhood we're in. I don't want us to present a bad image to the neighborhood by being completely inconsiderate of other people's concerns with the pandemic and those sort of things. So we're cautious with those things. But I want you to know that we're not idle. A number of things that we're doing is we've been trying to develop our leadership team. And the leadership team, and some of you don't know who is on the leadership team, and they're not all here to be pointed out. But the leadership team are those who are overseeing areas of the church. And over the last several months, I've been doing a lot of work to mentor and do things in their life and giving them resources to develop for their specific area of ministry. And some of the things you're aware of, like Joyce back in the back here oversees our connection groups. So she oversees a number of connection group leaders. If you don't know what connection group is, that is a group of people that get together and just do stuff and hang out together and are there to support one another. So she oversees that ministry. John in the back oversees the men's ministry. And guys, just so you know it, he is a prayer warrior, and he's praying that God will slap some of you guys on the back of the head to get you guys moving, and others of you are great, and every guy in this room, I know you're awesome. There's nothing wrong with you at all. You don't need any slaps in the back of the head. It's the people that are not here right now that need that. Cindy leads our women's ministry, as you're aware. Most of you are aware of that. But there are some other ministries that you're not aware of. One is that Domingo, wave at us, Domingo. Domingo, you got to wave at us. Or not Domingo, sorry. Damien. I blame the pandemic. Damien, wave at us again. Damien has accepted to oversee youth ministry. And so we're, yes, amen. So we're working on getting him geared up slowly again, dragging my feet, working on getting him prepped and managed. And a lot of that's going to be more relationship building than anything in the beginning as we have just a handful of teenagers in our church. In light of that, well, actually, Habiba, who's probably downstairs, Habiba oversees the children's ministries. And in light of that, as you guys, and it's been you guys letting the Lord work through you, our finances have been better this year than they've had been in other. I mean, we just continue to increase so much so that we feel like we're likely in a position to be able to hire additional staff. And just so you know what our intentions are, we'll likely, and again, the board and I have to continue to discuss the details of that, we'll likely hire somebody young. Part of that is because younger people charge us less. Just in case you know that. That's really a big part of it, actually. You laugh, but... and I say charge us. It's because they have less experience. When someone's more experienced, plus if they have family needs and stuff, there's things that come with that. But we're looking to likely hire someone, possibly even a Bible college graduate, to oversee our youth and children's ministries. Our two that are overseeing us now will still be involved in doing that. But we'd like to set someone aside that's their full time to just chase down our youth and our kids and build relationships, not only with those that are in the church, but also those outside the church. So that's kind of waiting in the wings. And I'm telling you this because sometimes I don't think you guys know sometimes the details of what's happening. You know, you come in, you come on Sunday, you stand and you sing the songs, greet each other, you get a message and you leave, not without me giving much of a report of things that are happening. Another thing that's being developed is, like I said, Linda Simzak, and when I said that she's going to hunch it down, I do mean that. She's going to be leading or is leading our what we call assimilation team. Now, the goal of that team is to help everybody that's a part of Bethel in any way, whether it's someone who's been going here since the 70s or it's somebody who just met us at some outreach. We have contact with them and we've met them. It's going to be this team's job to figure out how do we get those people connected to everything that's a part of the life of the church, making sure they've come to know Jesus Christ, making sure they're in some kind of discipleship venue, making sure that we find a way to get them plugged into ministry and find a place to use their gifts and those kind of things is what we're going to be looking for. And so she's already recruited some of you on the team and we're baby stepping into it, but that's something that's developing. wanted to see if I could remember all the people. We have, I think, 10. Oh, Sean, who wasn't here today, he's in West Virginia. You know, wild and wonderful. And I don't know what he's doing there. He has family out there, but he is going to oversee our facilities team. And the goal of that team is not only to make sure that things on the grounds are functioning and being taken care of and those kind of things, but they're also going to be looking to be available for people in our church that might have home needs and issues to possibly be there of service to you or even in an outreach kind of scenario. Again, this is, you know, kind of far thinking and such, but that's where he is headed and he will be doing. John, who am I forgetting? Huh? Oh, you. I know I did slip of the tongue say you. Maybe that's prophetic. I don't know. There is, I won't tell you who, but there is a ministry that I'm trying to pressure someone to do. It is to, we want someone to be the bridge for us to the things that are happening in the community. And so we want a community bridge team that the focus of this team is to learn other organizations and stuff that are in the community that are doing things, needs that are in the community, and find ways for us as a church to get involved in the stuff that's happening out there for a number of reasons. And again, I'm not telling you the name of the person because they haven't said yes yet. They actually told me no, and I said, that means maybe. So let's just think about it for a little bit. I don't take no for answer very well. Another leadership that we're looking for a person to oversee would be outreach and events. I want someone to, and the reason why I'm doing this is because I can't do a great job at all of those areas myself. I just can't. Some of it's because I don't have the skill set for it. Others is because I just don't have the time to do great at all of those things. And as I've prayed throughout this year, it just felt impressed upon me that we need to get organized in a way that we are actually able to march forward and do great things. So why am I telling you all of that now? Well, one, it's the beginning of the year, and this is something that churches do at times. But two, because I want you to participate in those things. So if you feel like you're handy in any way, or you could be taught to be handy, then I want you to talk with Sean. If you don't know Sean, he's the guy who drums. And if you don't know the guy who drums, we have Facebook and YouTube now. Just go look at one of the services that he was drumming and you can see his face. and just go and talk to him and say, you know what, I think I'd be interested in that. Or even if it's just, you know, if someone needs to move, I'm willing to help them move or whatever. Let him know that you're interested in, I can cut grass, or I can, whatever it is. Tell him you are interested in serving. Now, if you don't tell him that again, I'm prepping our leaders to go after you at some point, so they will do that. So please, if Linda Simzek calls you, don't ignore the call. Okay? She's a nice lady, and she has good intentions for you. I don't know if Linda's going to harass me after this talk or not, but like I said with Linda, her goal is to assimilate people. So if you like talking to people, if you like talking to people on the phone, if you like communicating with people, if you like keeping attendance, if you like some organizational structure type things, even if you're the type, which I hope you don't mind if I share this story, Patty. We were doing Bible study on a Wednesday night, and I didn't know at the moment that she was on the fence on whether or not she wanted to participate in that team. I'm just going to make sure I stay clear of you after the service so you don't, like, attack me or anything. but I didn't know that she was thinking that through, and she was kind of on the fence. And lo and behold, our study that day was on Moses being called to do what he was called to do, and the way he was, like, hemming and hawing with the Lord and saying, well, I can't because of this and that. And the whole conversation centered around that. And afterwards, she was like, well, and I guess I probably should do this and not be like Moses. And I was like, yes, you should. You should do this. but there are areas that if you've ever felt like, I don't know if I'm good at anything. You know, I don't know what I have to offer or if I can help. There are ways that you can help. In fact, Denise Mangon is actually a part of this team and is working this team right now because she, though she's at home, she is watching the streaming because what happens is Some of you guys, even though I asked you to do this, and I don't know if you remember, 2 months ago, Kevin Sandy Barner were here, missionaries. If you remember, he told you to do everything I tell you to do. Do you remember that? Okay, some of you don't do that yet. And so I'm still praying that you start doing that. But anyway, some of you don't, when you're streaming, you don't comment or like anything. And so afterwards, after it's over, I don't know that you were there. There's no footprint that says that you were there. So Denise is actually there watching, because at least on the Facebook side, I'm not sure on YouTube, if someone shows up on the Facebook side, it says somebody's there with you watching. So Denise is actually there watching that and jotting that down so we can know that person was actually there. And so she's serving on a team right now doing ministry, and she's at home watching us by streaming on her television set. And so there are things that are simple jobs that could be done. And sometimes some of you have not been involved in things because I didn't know what to get you involved in yet. And again, that's kind of been the journey of this year, is let's develop our teams and get ready to start to make that happen. So at some point, Linda, it might not be Linda, it'll be other people, they'll just block the number when they call you so that you won't know it's them. It'll be someone on our team that will likely call you to do some kind of interview with you, to just ask you questions about yourself and what you're interested in and those kind of things. We'll just gather some information, and no, we're not trying to steal your identity. No, we're not trying to do anything like that. But what we're looking for is maybe there's something you're good at that you don't think could be used for church or for ministry, but we might be able to find a place for that. And we will never know that if we don't ask. You know, sometimes we just don't ask enough questions to find out that information. So we're going to begin to do those things. Sometimes some of you have come up with an idea and brought it to me, and I just didn't have the time or didn't have the idea on how to make that happen or didn't know if it was the right time yet. I want to let you know that I'm not the type of pastor that needs you guys to be given approval for everything that happens. Okay. Now, if you're going to do something that involves teaching kind of thing, I would like you to run it past me. There's some service-related things that needs it run past me. But if you want to start a Bible study in your home, start a Bible study in your home. Don't wait for me to say, yes, go start a Bible study in your home. Now, if I find out you're teaching false teaching after the fact, then we'll deal with that. Well, you know, we'll tie you up and put you in a room somewhere for a while. But don't wait for me, okay? Just go. Just do. If you feel like the Lord's telling you to start a Bible study or start some kind of outreach in your neighborhood or start serving people in your neighborhood. In fact, and Alma's not here for me to pick on her, and neither is Diana Linke. Alma and Diana Linke live in the same building together, and it's been on my heart. And if either of you are streaming, again, I feel like this is the Lord. They live in a retirement apartment center. And I feel like the Lord wants to use them to start some kind of outreach in that building. Now, I know there's restrictions that they have in that building, but I'm believing that God has something for them. And do you believe that God has a call for all of you guys? Amen. He has specific things. Your life is not useless, okay? Your life is meant to be used for something. But here's the dilemma. And I was reading an article that had this comment in there. It was talking about pastors, that many pastors are likely to resign this year because they're exhausted over the pandemic issues and things like that, which I want you to know, I'm very stubborn and not much of a quitter, so I don't plan on leaving anytime soon. Thank you. But a line in there said that, that this person that was writing this article feels sympathetic towards pastors. And the person said, because I have a hard enough time trying to keep my own life together. I couldn't imagine trying to help somebody else keep their life together. Anybody ever feel like that? You feel like, I can't even keep my own self together, let alone help somebody else out? Listen, we are all a work in progress. And if you wait till you're flawless to start helping people, you never will. And like I said, I am not flawless at all, not even the slightest bit. I have my own set of issues and weaknesses, and yet the Lord uses me, okay? And he uses me to impact people, and he can do the same with you. He can use you to impact people, so don't wait till you're perfect. But again, I understand that some of you that have young children in the house, you're limited on what you're able to do. Some of you have health issues, so you're limited on what you're able to do. But I want you to know that there's always something that you can do. So I want to encourage you to start praying, Lord, show me what you want me to be involved in. And then start asking, start looking around. And again, if you're interested in some of the areas I mentioned, children's ministry, youth ministry, assimilation team, the facilities team, if you're interested in helping build the bridge to the community, outreach and events, men's ministry, women's ministry, worship team. I know I'm forgetting something in there. Yes, actually, thank you for that. The tech team. Right now, it's just Tori and Abby. It's just the Zubek girls that are running our technology for the most part. I would love, and I've talked with them, and I keep harassing Tori. If you start, and just so you know, everybody, I haven't done this, sorry for those of you that are streaming. It's usually come down here. I keep getting after Tori to get our camera to where it can move for us. Where was I going with that? Sorry, see, this is what happens when I'm not prepared. Technology. We need the tech team to help us right now. I've been after her and all the teams. I've been telling you need a directory, you need a list of everybody in the church, you need to start praying over them, and then you need to start calling them. And so again, I'm serious. I'm training. I've been a harasser for my 4 years here. I'm now training more people to be harassers. Aren't you so excited for 2021? Yes? I've been after Tori, you got to get more people on a team. And she's like, well, but I can do this. Well, obviously, you can't do it every week because right now she has to quarantine and she's not here. She's doing it remotely. It'd be great if one of you guys were up there running the streaming or the sound team. But also, there are other ways to get into the social media platform. And listen, I don't know the half of sometimes with how to manage YouTube and Facebook. I know I'm on there, but I am by far an expert in those things. And there's some of you out there that you play around in that stuff. And even if you're not an expert in that, some of you are anybody, someone who gets lost in Google at times, you search this thing, and then you search this thing, and search this thing. Some of what we need is just people who are researchers, who we can say, hey, we don't know how to do this. Can you research and find out how to do this? Because I don't know if you know this, sometimes you can spend hours researching things and not find the answer still. Don't you hate when that happens? Okay, and we would love to have people that would say, you know what, I'm already online anyway. I would love to just do the research and find out answers and solutions to those things. So please, if you're interested in something like that, contact Tori or just text me and say, hey, I'm interested, and I'll give that information to Tori. And let's start building a team, because I'm really believing that for us at least, part of the reason why the pandemic is happening, and I believe that it's happened, God has many intentions with it, part of the reason why it has happened for us is to give us the ability to, we're not as busy as we usually are as far as activities and those kind of things, so that's not taking up our time. Let's focus on developing ourselves and our teams and getting ready for when this thing is lifted, that we are armed and ready as a team to go forward and tackle things instead of just going about our own. Because I don't know about you, I don't want church to be just let's come to church on Sunday morning and sing some songs and we got to hang out with some people, we heard someone preach and amen, that's great, and go about our lives again. No, I want us to be interconnected with each other and with what the church is doing. And do I know how to make that come about perfectly? No, but that's the passion of my heart, and I think that should be all of our passion, is let's become the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? And so, like I was saying, we're going to take a little bit of a break from Daniel for the next few weeks, and let's examine the Christian life. What is it that I'm supposed to be if I'm a Christian? You know, we say we're a Christian, we say we believe in Jesus. What is supposed to be happening in my life? And I want us to walk through those things, because one, I am incredibly taken aback by the way some of you guys have blessed us with pastor appreciation a few weeks ago, and some of the ways that you guys have blessed us with Christmas gifts and stuff, and things that are not asked for in times when I know that people don't have much money, and I see them giving us gift cards and cash and things, and I know that that's a sacrifice. In ways that you guys sow into the tithing of the church and those kind of things. And the ways that many of you get involved in ministry, which actually, no, we probably don't have time to make that happen. I was going to have the children's team come in and join us. I wanted to wait till the very end because it all falls apart once the kids come in. Just be sure to thank our children's team from time to time to let them know we appreciate them. You guys are, offering. Thanks, Joyce. You guys do so many things as far as your involvement in ministry and the different things you do. I know that you guys do things. But I know that there's some of you that don't do much, if any. I know that there are some of you that could certainly do more than what you do. And yes, I understand you have a life. Yes, I understand you have things going on in your life. Wouldn't you love it if all of us decided to do a portion of what the church needed to do? You see, the reason why some of us feel taxed with ministry is because we're carrying the load of 6-8 people. If we were all carrying a small load, it would be a powerhouse, wouldn't we? We're all just carrying a small load. And I know that if you're not, there's something not the way it should be in your house that is in your spirit. And so let's walk through and examine what are the things that should be happening in my house. What did Jesus say of his body? If this temple, this house be destroyed, it'll be rebuilt. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we want to make sure we're cultivating these things to become who we ought to be. But I know that I need to help you guys. I know that because I would love for some of you, I know you have financial struggles, I would love to sit down with you and try to help you figure out financial things. And some of you, I have done that. Others of you have not gotten the opportunity, which I always laugh with the financial thing because sometimes I have some people say, well, I'm not doing that. I would love to help you out with a relationship. Wouldn't you love that if we were a church, we had the resource to provide marriage renewal things and parenting support things and special needs type things. There's all kinds of things the body could be doing to taking care of needs. But we can't do that until somebody steps up and says, let me be the person that starts to take care of that. And I want us to be the body of Christ. Amen. So I'm going to pray. And then when we dismiss, again, the offering plates are in the back. You can give when you leave. You can give online either now or sometime later. Again, want to remind you that Melanie, who is gradually recovering, getting better in the hospital, we are still going to collect contributions to help us help her purchase that machine she needs for the, it takes care of, I think, blood sugar type things and that sort of thing. So if you're interested in helping with that, just put Melanie and jot on the memo line or on the internet, just put other and fill in Melanie and we'll know what you want that to go to and help us meet those needs. Let's be the body. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the work that you do. And I thank you for every single person that's here and every person that's streaming online. And I thank you for everybody that's not able to be with us today for various reasons. Each one of us here are a gift to each other. And I ask, Lord, that you would forgive me when I've not actually been as much of a gift as I should. And I ask that you would forgive all of us when we've not been that. And help us, may 2021 be a year when I don't know what's ahead of us, I don't know when you're going to lift the various things that we are in the midst of, but one thing I believe you want to happen, and I'm praying it will be, let 2021 be a year that the body of Christ is built up. Let 2021 be a year that each individual member of the body becomes stronger in Christ, stronger emotionally, stronger mentally, stronger relationally and physically, stronger financially, and then gets in the game and starts doing the work of the kingdom of God. Let us become your church. Let us rise to the occasion and do the things that you've called us to do. And in the process of that, help us to understand each other. Help us to be understanding. Help us to listen to each other and to give grace and understanding to each other. Help us to be the loving body of Christ that you intended us to be. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. The worship team will lead us as you go. Again, if you're members, there's ballots back there for the nominating committee. But God bless you. Go and serve Jesus as the body of Christ.